Well, good morning. How are we all doing? Are we all awake? All rejoicing in the presence of God? Okay. Ali keeps saying about I'm bringing the word about promise. We are sort of getting into promise, but God's promises are in 4 weeks' time, but God's promises are every day, and yes and amen. So you will see how this morning, how God led Joshua into the promise of the promised land. So if you have your Bibles with you, would you turn to Exodus 33, and we're going to read through verses 7 to 16. Exodus 33. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped each at the entrance to their tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know where you will send, who you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And Shona and the band have been leading us this morning in the presence of God. And Shona finished with, "If God's not with us, if God's not with us, then we may as well go home." We want to come this morning and to meet into the presence of God. We've already come into the Holy of Holies. We've already come in into that place. And we want to be in the presence of God and living in the presence of God, no matter where we are, no matter what time or what season we find ourselves in. So last Sunday we were speaking on the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we were connected into the power, what power source are we connected into? Are we fully connected in the power and the presence of the living God? Or are we opting for a second option? So just to pick up on that, and the power and the presence of the living God. And as I went to bed on Sunday night, I said, "Well, Lord, that's that talk done for this week. So let's focus this week on what you want to speak about to our family here in White Inch." And as soon as I said it, I just heard the tent of meeting. And I saw this tent, and I saw like this figure lying at the side of the tent, at the flap of the tent. And right there, I just knew it was Joshua. There was just something impacted my heart that this was Joshua. I mean, there's many, many tents of meeting and David and the tabernacle and the whole house of prayer which we've been teaching on. But this time it seemed to be God was calling our attention to the tent of meeting with Joshua. And Moses, you see, he went outside of the camp. That was where he went to meet with God and where the people would watch and see what he'd do. And the pillar would come down and Moses would meet face to face with God and God would speak to him. And sometimes we have to go outside our camp of familiarity. And sometimes we find ourselves in a camp of familiarity and we just go and do things just as a process. It's just a thing that we do. Maybe we turn up at church on a Sunday morning. It's just because that's what we do at 10:30 on a Sunday morning, just as the kids would go to school on Monday morning as of this week. Then we start getting into a camp of familiarity. A camp of familiarity can can change a lot of things in our lives. We want to come out of that and come into the presence of God. And Stephen and I found ourselves in a different camp 2 years ago when we moved to Biggleswade. When we went to be the senior leader in the church in Biggleswade, we'd been living in Scotland. We'd travelled to many missionary countries. We'd preached in many places. We saw God move. But our familiar camp was our nation of Scotland. And then suddenly God takes us and he uproots us from everywhere, from where we were living, from our family, from our friends, to this place called Biggleswade that we'd never heard of in England, in Bedfordshire. And we found ourselves there, and the church people were great. They absolutely loved us. They looked after us really well. And we found ourselves there, but it was an unfamiliar camp. It was a place that we had to really press into God for the things that we'd maybe taken just as part of our life. You see, you can go along and just take things of God and things of your life just as familiar until suddenly things change. And suddenly you find yourself in a situation you never expected to be in. Have you ever found yourself in places that you never expected to be in? Because God can take us to many places and many times and many seasons in our life. So we found ourselves in Biggleswade. So on a Sunday, the church was absolutely full. It went from 180 to 230 in this short period of time we were there. It was really growing. The people loved us. And in one way, we would have been mad to leave it. They paid you well, they looked after you, they loved us. But, you know, when we were in the church on a Sunday, it was good. But on a Monday, on our day off, it was like, what are we actually doing here? What are we doing here? A bit like Elijah. What are you doing here? And I think God's asking us today, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? Why did you come this morning? Did you come to meet just your friends? That's good in itself. Did you come to meet with the presence of God? Because that's what we should be coming to. And as we were in Biggleswade, I started to really press in to God and ask him, what are we doing here? How long are we going to be here? Why are we here? I had such a heart for Scotland. I'd seen God work in our lives and done many things here. My heart was still in Scotland. I think it never really left. And it was a kind of a pressing into the season, to get into the presence of God. And sometimes God uses our situations to get us to press in to him. And so we have here Joshua. And Joshua was being prepared to lead the people into the promised land. Joshua was the one who went and took the promised land. Moses had been told he would take it, but Moses didn't get there, but Joshua did. So why did Joshua managed to take the people across the promised land? What was Joshua's training ground for getting them there? Because we first see Joshua in Exodus 17 and verse 9, when there's a battle with the Amalekites. And you'll know that battle well because it's when Moses goes up to the top of the mountain and he's interceding and praying. And he says that when I raise this banner, and then you saw it as he raised his staff, then the Israelites were winning. But when he lowered his staff and he got wearied and tired, the Amalekites started to win. And then when Moses got really tired, Aaron and Hur, it says they held up his arms so that staff was always there, always showing the power and the presence of God. So we see there that Joshua was learning the power of intercession. He won that battle right there as he knew the power of intercession. He knew and he was trained into the presence of God. Because the Lord instructed Moses, write this down as a reminder record and announce it to Joshua that I will cast out every trace of Amalekites from heaven. So right there, God was speaking to Moses and he was reminding Joshua that he'd won that battle. He'd won that battle right there while Moses and Aaron were interceding. And we need people who are praying for us in the battle. We need to be people who are praying in the battle. We need to be people who are pressing in for our loved ones, pressing in for our church, pressing in for our nation, pressing in the power of the presence of God. And Joshua learned that right there on the intercession. And God was teaching him there because he says to Moses, make sure I command you to tell Joshua. So right there, God had a plan for Joshua's life of where he was going to take him. That even when everything got written out, the Amalekites had got defeated. In case Joshua was to forget about the overpowering that he had done in that battle, in case he forgot the power and that he'd learned in that battle and how he'd overcome, God says to Moses to remind him and announce it to the people and make sure that Joshua was hearing. Are you having battles in your life today? We all go through battles. We all go through storms. We all go through seasons. But how do we deal with our battles? How do we learn to overcome in the presence of God? How do we overcome and step in when the battles grow fierce? Even the disciples who'd been with Jesus the whole time, they were in that, when they were in the boat when the storm came, and they were afraid, and Jesus was sound asleep, he was still, but they were afraid. And he just woke up and he said, be still to every storm. And when we're in the presence of God and when things are raging around us, we can still come into the presence of God and find the peace and the calm that comes in with our soul. Where it says, Psalm 103, be still. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. So when you're raging in your battles, you want to be in the presence of God. When you're in the presence of God, you learn of the love and the presence and the goodness. Like Shona said, the Father would not give us scorpions instead of eggs. So let's get into the presence. Let's start learning through our battles, through our struggles, through every season that we're in, of how to trust God and how to remain in God. In John 15, verse 5, it says, remain in me and I remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. Remain in me. Christ wants us to dwell deep within him. We've already gone over the verses in the last few weeks. I've been rooted deep in the love of Christ Jesus. It's all about our identity of who we are as children of God. It's all about remaining in God and his presence. All about knowing who God is and his glory and his love and his passion and his kindness for us. Because David talks in Psalm 27, verses 4 to 6. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle, and I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. He was asking, he was desiring, the pavilion is where the king reigned, where the presence was, where the peace was, where the king would go into his solitude place and where he would just be alone, that nobody else would enter. But the Father's inviting us into that private place of his presence. He's inviting us in to be in his presence and into his goodness. And so that when things come up against us and battles come up against us, he's going to lift our head above all of that. Above all of that, so that we can sing and rejoice. It says in the words, when the Israelites were in Babylon, how can we sing our love songs in a strange land? They were imprisoned. They'd lost everything. And they were getting asked to sing their songs. How can you sing? I mean, most of us sing when we're happy, don't we? Most of us sing, except for Kirsty, because she does it as a profession all the time. But most of us are singing when we're happy, and we're singing our songs, and we find ourselves bursting forth with songs that are from a way back. But they couldn't sing. But here, you see, David's talking. He can sing. He can sing his praises because he's in the presence of God. He's in the safety. He's in the safety. God calls him to come and to hide, to come and to hide. Hide me, he says, and set me high upon a rock. God calls you to come and hide in his presence. It's not hide so that you'd be afraid. Like Adam and Eve, they hid in the garden because they were afraid, because they'd eaten of that apple and they knew that they had separated themselves out of the presence of God. But God's calling us to come and hide into his presence. Our little Emily, our three-year-old granddaughter at the moment, is forever playing hide and seek. So she says, I'll go and hide, Gran, you can find me. So she goes away, she counts to five and she hides. But she always hides behind the curtain. And she hears her giggling. She says, I'm behind the curtain, find me. And she's already telling us where she is for us to find her. And the way that's kind of like what Daddy God's like for us. He's telling us, he's teaching us, come into my presence, child. Come in and hide with me, because he wants to find us. It says in the Song of Solomon that your face is lovely and your voice is sweet. God is after our hearts. He's after us coming into the presence. But how do we find that presence in a world that all chaos is battling around us? Maybe situations that are taking your whole life away, your thought pattern, everything. I got asked this morning, have you had any distractions this week? I couldn't answer it because people say to me, what did you do this week? And I'm like, oh, I don't know, it's Sunday again. And it's like, distractions. I must have had a distraction, but hey, I did. I had a major distraction yesterday that I'd totally forgotten about. So, and because I was like, I am not focusing on this. But our distraction was that our bathroom is leaking somewhere and the bathroom floor was soaking and we had to lift all the vinyl up and get rid of it. And it was a major distraction. I'm saying, oh, I shouldn't have lifted this vinyl today, Stephen, when we're both preaching in the morning. But hey, it didn't become too much of a distraction because I couldn't actually remember when I was asked a question. But what's battling in your mind? What's battling in your thoughts? And who or what has your thoughts? See, I could quite easily have become distracted with that soaking floor and wondering what we're going to do with it. But there's other major things that thoughts that come in to influence our thinking. Paul talks about it in Galatians, the things that we do that we don't want to do and the thoughts that we have that we don't know what to do with and all that. And actually he really wants us to focus on the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And whatever is noble, true, pure, kind, excellent, trustworthy, think about these things. You see, and before he talks even in that in Philippians about whatever is noble, true, pure, kind, thoughtful, excellent, trustworthy, think on these things. The verses just before that, that's Philippians 4:8, but in Philippians 4:6 and 7, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but prayer and supplication make your requests known to the Lord. How many of us get anxious? How many of us get fearful? We step out of forgetting who our Daddy is, who Father in Heaven is, how much he is in control, how the good plans that he has for us, and suddenly our thought patterns start to get taken over and we start thinking of the things that we shouldn't think about. That's easy to do that. It's so easy to do that. It's easy to do that when everything around you is in chaos or everything around you is just not the way you planned it to be. When you thought you were going to have a good day and suddenly it goes in a bell curve and there's other things come in and change the way you think. So what are you thinking about today? Who or what is influencing your thinking? Because as a man thinks, so it is in his heart. What are you thinking about today? Who do you listen to? Who influences your life? Joshua was obviously a servant of Moses. He was being trained by Moses. Moses was a friend of God, as we see here. God spoke to Moses face to face. Joshua saw that. Joshua remained at the tent of meeting. When Moses went back to the camp to speak to the people, it says, young Joshua, son of Nun, remained there in the presence. See, Joshua was not a people pleaser. Joshua wanted the presence of God more than anything else. Joshua wasn't going to go suddenly and see, here is Moses, what's God been saying to him? Let's go and hear what God's been saying. And that would have been very good and very encouraging, I'm sure, when God was speaking to Moses and he'd been in his presence. But Joshua, son of Nun, remained at the tent of meeting. He remained where the presence of God was. He wasn't following the man Moses at that point. Who do we follow? Who is influencing our life? Because first and foremost, it needs to be our relationship with God, and other people come after that. The presence of God. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Do you need rest in your life this morning? Do you need peace in your life this morning? Do you need rest and peace for the situations that perhaps you're going through, your friends, your family? You're only going to find it when you first seek first the kingdom of God. Seek his face. Seek his face. Get to know God. Get to know God and his love. Get to know that he's good. You see, because things dominate our thoughts and our influence and our thinking. Because when I was growing up, my mother was schizophrenic and my father became an alcoholic. And I was growing up in a very insecure home. And I was quite frightened growing up as a child. I wouldn't hardly speak to you, wouldn't lift my eyes to say hello to you, couldn't connect to people. I was very shy. And then suddenly I meet God and the goodness of his Father, and the power of the Holy Spirit comes into my life and starts to bring peace to my soul and confidence in who I am and confidence in remaining in him, that I'm a child of God and I can overcome everything. But you see, my thought patterns growing up were full of fear. My thought patterns growing up were like my grandmother saying, you won't amount to anything. You'll never fill your sister's shoes. You know, have you ever been put down? I heard words that have put you down. It says you'll never do anything. You'll never amount to anything. Well, I'm here to tell you today, you get into the presence of God. Get to know God as your good Father. Let him come and show his love and his power into you. Remain in him and he can change all the way you think. It says to be renewed in the spirit of your mind in Romans 12:2 and Ephesians 4:23. It gets repeated there. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The mind is the key thing that we have. The mind is our thought pattern of how we see ourselves, how we see others, how we perceive others think about us. And we need to get it renewed by the spirit of the mind. The spirit of the mind, not just your mind, but the spirit actually coming in into your mind and into your actual spirit. We've heard today again, we were speaking about it last week, the same spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead is living in us, that power. And that spirit that is within us gets activated right through our body and our mind. So start thinking about your thought patterns and the spirit taking control of your mind and how you see yourself and how Christ sees yourself. The mind is the one that is going to be taking you into your thought pattern and how you relate to your life. So if you're anxious or you have thoughts, would you rather be around an anxious person? Would you listen to an anxious person who's moving about and all anxious all the time? Or would you listen more to somebody who's at peace? God wants us at rest. He wants us at peace so that we can bring our anxious thoughts, so that we can speak to other people and bring them into the peace and the life and the presence of God. Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. We as children of God, we who have the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead, we have that presence in us. We can release that into others. We should be making a difference and transforming people's lives. Transformed people transform lives. Are you a transformer today? Do you want to transform people's lives? Then you need to get into the presence of God, because the whole source comes from his power and his presence. Without him, we can do nothing. But in him, we can do all things in Christ. It strengthens us. So let's get in and get into that tent of meeting and be like Joshua. Joshua meant many battles. We heard that. But he was also the one who went in to Jericho and the walls fell down. The walls came tumbling down. God spoke to him. He obeyed God's word. Moses was a friend of God, but he didn't get into the promised land. Why? Because God told him to strike the rock and the water would come forth. And he did, and the water came forth. And then later on, God tells him to speak to the rock and the water will come forth. But he didn't speak to the rock, did he? He disobeyed what God said to him. And he listened to all the noise that was going around. Because it said the people were grumbling and the people were moaning. And they're like, oh, what are we doing in Egypt? What are we doing here? Why have we got no water? What kind of leader are you? And they're moaning about him. Until finally, I think he got fed up with them. And he struck the rock. And the water came forth as God had said. But he struck the rock and he didn't speak to him. And God had clearly told him to speak to the rock. And so he disobeyed God. And for that, he wasn't going to go into the promised land. He hadn't remained in the presence of God and what God was saying. And there's things that we can stop God's presence coming into us with our disobedience. There's things that we can stop because we haven't maybe rested in God and inquired of him and taken the patience to listen to him. God wants us fully listening to him and to his presence. But Joshua, he obeyed God and everything because he'd learned being in the tent of meeting to be resting in God. He'd learned how to hear from God, how to operate in God, and how to move in the power of God. And so when it came to Jericho, it says Jericho was a fortified city. It was closed up. No one could enter it, it says. And then God gives him the power and the whole blueprint of how to do it. He says, right, get the armies and march around it once every day for 6 days. And they do that. And then on the seventh day, he says, take the ark and march round it and have all the musicians blow the trumpets and see the walls coming down. Now, that wouldn't make sense in the natural, that you're just going to march round this city that's closed and nobody can get in for 6 days. And then you're going to take all your musicians, you're going to blow your trumpets seven times and you're going to watch the walls coming down. But Joshua was a man who was obedient to God, who'd been in his life training in the presence of God. And we saw there that the walls came tumbling down. Joshua obeyed God. And God is raising up Joshuas today who are under the influence of his presence, dependent on him, and ready to obey. Are you a Joshua today? Are you willing to be under the influence of the presence of God, be dependent on him, and ready to obey? And in the middle of the week, Stephen saw this. It's from the Elijah list. And this is a prophetic word that came from the Elijah list. I think he got it on Wednesday. New warriors are arising, prepared for battle. The glory dimension. I heard the Lord say, my new breed of warriors are arising. They have been prepared in the secret place and have been refined in the fire. They know who they are in me, and they have seen my faithfulness in meeting at them at every step of obedience they have taken in their journey. They are not influenced by the opinions or doctrines of man, but live to see my name glorified. They stand for righteousness, truth, and justice. They are grounded in my word and led by my spirit. Great revelation on my plans and those of the enemy are given to them as they spend time in my presence. Great authority is given to them to call forth my will and come against the schemes of the enemy and break down strongholds. Previous battles they have fought in my name have prepared them for the next level I'm releasing them to. I'm advancing and skilling up these warriors at this time. I'm releasing new tools and weapons to them at this time, which will have great impact in advancing my will in the earth and in coming against the enemy. These warriors will move in a new dimension, a glory dimension. The Lord then showed me a vision of these warriors and specific details regarding these warriors. Previous battles have prepared them. Shield of protection, new weapons. If that doesn't sound a bit like Joshua's, I don't know what is. And they raise up others. They had a heart to raise up others. And I saw them training and instructing others so that others would go further than them and take even more territory for the kingdom. They had a desire to share their experiences and what they had learned so that others could advance. They were able to see others the way God saw them. And their desire was to see others released into their destinies. They also operated in unity with others in order to see great acceleration of God's plan. The Lord is calling his new breed of warriors to arise. Didn't that just touch your heart? They were able to see others the way God saw them, and their desires was to see others released to their destiny. That is my heart cry, and I pray today it's your heart cry, that you want to bring people into their destiny of who they are and what everything that God has for them, and that they would flourish and that they would go into their promised land. Joshua went into that promised land. He'd spied out the land. He was one of the 12 spies that went. 10 of them came back saying, oh no, there's giants there and we're only the size of grasshoppers. But Joshua and Caleb, they said, no, God is in this. Let's go. God has promised us the promised land, the land flowing of milk and honey. Let's rise up today, mighty warriors. Let's rise up today as Joshua's, as ones who are in the presence of the tent of meeting, ones who know their God and will do great exploits. That's what it says in Daniel. Those who know their God will do great exploits. Let's rise up like Joshua's, who are going to lead an army, who are going to say to fortified cities, to going to say to things that are tightly shut up into people's life, we can break through in this. We can break through in this and we can advance into the kingdom. You don't have to stay into this life that you're stuck in. You can come out in it in the presence of God and the power of God. And we are here as the children of God to make a difference. We're here as the children of God to transform lives. We are going to see those who are fortified in their minds, who are tightly shut up in their minds, set free in the power of God. We are going to see those who are sick and their bodies healed in the name of Jesus. We call you today, right here in White Inch to rise up as Joshua's who are going to go into that promised land to see that milk and honey flowing. What is your promised land? What is your destiny? What has God promised over your life? What has God promised over your family? What has God promised over your friends? What has God promised over your nation? It is time for us to arise and to come into the promises of God. And where God's promises are yes and amen. The only reason that Moses didn't get in there was because he disobeyed God. Are we disobeying God today in the call that's on our life? What has God said to you? How are you activating that into you? Who are you or what are you influencing? To let influence in your mind and your heart and your spirit. It is time right now to be done with the lesser things, and it's time to rise up. It's time to come after the things of God and the presence of God and to get into the tent of meeting that we can come and see that glory, or that the glory would come, or the glory that covers all the earth, it says, or that the glory would come here in White Inch, or that the glory would come in this Glasgow, in this city, or that the glory would come in this nation, or that the glory and the presence of God would come to each and every single one of our lives, that we can see changed lives, that we can change and others can change. If God can change me, he can change you. If God can take this fearful little girl of a very insecure home, locked up in all her thoughts, who used to just play record over and over and over again, I'm just a lonely boy, lonely and blue, I'm not alone with nothing to do. Are you lonely today? Are you lonely today? Do you need friends? Because Moses was a friend of God. Moses was a friend of God. If you first get to know God as your friend and your good father, you're going to relate to people differently. You're going to have friends because you're going to be a friend of Jesus, a friend of Jesus who holds out the hand for the next one, who loves, who covers everything and his love and his power and his presence. Father God, we call forth right now that we would arise like Joshua's, Father, whatever our situation is, Lord, that we would overcome the battles, Lord, that we would overcome the battles of our mind, that we would overcome, Lord, how we see ourselves, Lord, and how we see you, Lord. And Father God, we want to see you in your glory and in your presence. We want to be people, Lord, who rest in your presence, who know your presence, who love your presence, who say, if you're not with us, I'm not going. Father, if you're not with me, Father God, if I don't give you my whole heart, then forgive me, Father God, and release your presence more and more and more and more and more. Oh Lord, you're the God of the exceedingly, immeasurably, abundantly more. Father, we want to meet in your presence. We want to know you. We want to rise up. We want to rise up and we want to turn around, Lord. We want to turn around, Lord, for the way we think. For the way we think, for the way we see ourselves, the way we see you, the way we see others, Father. And we want to be ones who bring them into their destiny and say, son, daughter, you can do it. You can do it. You can take hold and you can cross over. You can cross over out of all that just holds you back. You can cross over. You can let go. You can release. And you can be forgiven. And you can be blessed. And you can be a blessing to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Let's have the worship team back up and the prayer ministry team, if you want to come up and make yourselves known to whoever's leading the prayer ministry team. Is that you, Alison? Shona? Okay. Prayer ministry team, if you want to come up. Thanks. As we just worship God, let's just stay in the presence of God. We've already asked the Lord what he's doing today. So what are you doing here today? What are you doing here today? Let's come to meet God. Let's rise up. Let's rise up into every possibility that God has made for us. Let's make a way. Let's make a way for the risen Lord Jesus. Let's make a way for his presence, his power to be manifest within us. Let's take hold of that glory. Let's take hold of that glory. Let's take hold of it. Let's just glimpse into heaven right now. Let's glimpse into heaven. All that is going on in heaven is right here for us right now. Right here for us right now. Yeah, an open heaven in the presence of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So if you want to come forth, the prayer ministry team are there. If you want to maybe set free from some stuff, or you just want to just be encouraged or strengthened in your inner being, if you want to be like a Joshua who's going to come into all the promises that you had, because God said to him right there in Joshua 1:9, be strong. Be strong. Be courageous. Be very courageous. Be very courageous. And for some of us, you need courage even to step out just to get prayer, because you don't quite know what's going to happen. But that's okay, because God is good. God is good all the time. Amen.